This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
This morning, it's always a privilege to stand here. And, last night when I was really praying for today, I actually felt that the Lord, I was, in a sense, battling a little bit and thinking, Lord, is there still something I miss? Is there still something that I should add to what I have to say? And I just felt that the Lord actually gave me this peace to say, that He has said the last term what He wanted to say to us, that He has been speaking to us, that I don't have to add anything new, in a sense. I've started this year, I don't know why always, but I had the privilege to start many sermon series. I think we had a few fantastic sermon series, which you can go on our Facebook page or speak to Raylene maybe, that you can get it if you want to. We had a few nice ones this year, I believe, about new life and prayer. There were quite a few. But today, it's actually in a sense, I believe, it's almost to put a little bit of a full stop there. I just feel I've got this one thing that I just need to say to us, that we just need to ask ourselves, have we been faithful and obedient to what the Lord has been speaking to us in the past few months? Because I honestly, I usually make notes on my cell phone. So some of us use paper, some of us use our phones, no problem. It's not a right or wrong. But in the past few days, after, Convergence Conference started early in September, we were listening to there to Dr. Corne Becker and Rick Russo, Pastor Heinrich Titus. And then it was just like a whirlwind where we had Andres Vermeulen and Stephen Lungu and Michael Howard. And quickly, Pastor Andres was here, Andres van der Merwe. And, sometimes you need to just stand still for a while and say, Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you speaking to me about? And if I hear that, am I obedient? And that's why I just have this peace in my heart, in a sense, that there's not a new prophetic word or a new sermon series or a season or something that we have to announce today. There is a sermon, don't worry. But also that we just need to say, there were so many things that has been said. We cannot complain in this church, especially over the years, but especially the last term, I believe, we were so blessed with so many. Starting from Convergence Conference onwards, there was so much impartation word for us. If you say today that the Lord hasn't been speaking to us, you really have to make an appointment. Because the Lord has really been speaking to us as a church. I believe He's really taking us higher in many ways. He's creating and stirring a passion and a boldness in our midst, which I believe many of us can say amen to. And as I went through my notes, which I made on my phone, I just saw there the one morning on the 11th of November. I also remember the morning I was driving to church to intercession, and then getting closer to church, I thought, wow, it's kind of busy in town. And then all the cars in front of me were driving to church. And I thought, wow, there's a traffic jam, 5:30 in the morning, but it's a biblical one. It's a good one. It's actually where people, people coming from different parts of town and everyone driving to church. And we upped our intercession from one morning to five, and we are really, I believe, growing in being a praying, interceding church. I can just see so many people who has shifted gears. Something that the Lord has been doing in our hearts. So many people has just moved on to a place of boldness and saying, Lord, it's early, but I want to be there. I will be there. The list goes on and on. So as I look back at 2019, I'm just so encouraged. I'm just so excited about what the new year will hold for us. And if I look at the pace that things have been escalating, I'm saying to myself, you should have a good holiday. Because next year, if we continue growing and doing different things and ministering, Pastor Yaku and Pastor JP from Windhoek, they are on their way today to Katima, to our missions partners, where we want to establish a Bible school. And they are seeing, if I'm correct, the regional, not governor, the regional person in charge of education regarding our 1-0 program. So it's just so exciting to see where we are going, what the Lord is being doing, and I believe it comes with a lot of stewardship from our side, and I sense that is why the Lord is just saying to us here, almost closer to the end of the year, have you listened? Have you obeyed what I've said to you? And what God says to me, what He says corporately to the church is one thing, but to us as individuals, to one person it might be about the kiddies church, or the other person it might be about Bible school or the worship team. God is speaking to all of us in different ways, and I'm just so excited to be part of what the Lord is doing. And I think I'm saying it with a lot of humility, really in my heart, but I believe the longer we walk with the Lord and the longer we are part of church, till now you must say amen, and some of the people that's been a long time in this church, Carol and you people, you know, when we see suddenly gears shift and there's an intensity, intensity in our midst, something really happening that we can honestly say just the Lord is doing, I just appreciate it so much. I just love it to be part of something that not me or any of the elders have, something that wasn't in our hand to do, but we can just see the Lord is just doing, is just releasing someone. And amen. Thank you, Carol. Especially when I look at intercession, usually I had the 6:15 at the young working group praying with them. Pastor Yaku had the 5:30, the general intercession. And now we moved to 7 facilitators, including quite a few ladies. And just the nice thing is I just think they do it better than some of us, in a sense. So just I see the hands and the amens. And it's just nice to see how God is creating capacity, because that means we can actually lead or have 7 intercession groups at different places, because the Lord is working through every one of us. He's doing a work through all of us. And just to see the passion and the zeal of how the Lord is stirring, I almost just want to continue with that, because some of us, I guess, has walked through dry places in our own personal walk with the God, with the Lord, sometimes where things were a bit tough, or because of our own sin or issues or whatever, we felt maybe a little bit far away. But you know, these moments where it's just like stuff are just happening, and I'm not going to say too much about that, but you know, I have to drive out of my way to visit the new church building here in Kramersdorf and the new area, and to see how it's progressing. We will stand still next year, next week at our Thanksgiving service, but just to see how the church is growing, the church, the living stones, but also the bricks there down the street, how the building is being built. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. It's just awesome to be part of it. And guys, or church, you know, when we look around us, there's not every day that a building of that size is being built in town, never less a church. So I'm just so thankful to say, Lord, thank you that I can be part of this. Thank you that I can. We were all there, I think, about a year ago. I think at the end of the year, we went to worship there. It was probably late November, early December. I can't remember exactly. And it was land. There was nothing. Do you remember? And now we can see the roof. It's there. So God is doing something. And as I said, just to be part of that, to see people, we've baptized someone, and maybe some of you missed it, in the Afrikaans, in between the two church services, we baptized someone. We really baptized a lot of people in the last 3 or 4 months. That's new life. That's the kingdom coming. That's something to rejoice in. So, amen. I'm just excited this morning. I was waiting for that, amen. Yes, I was waiting for that. So this morning, I want to share from Galatians chapter 2, and I'm thankful, although Afrikaans is my first language, I'm thankful that I can read it in English to you, because, Carol, thank you. Thank you for stirring in our midst. I will read it in my best English I can. The Afrikaans, it was the word hypocrisy is a hypocrite. You know, they, in Afrikaans, the 1983 translation talks about heichel or heichelarei. And, you know, that's not words that we use that often. So, heichel isn't if you heil and then you heichel. You know, for those of you who can stand up, speak Afrikaans. No, that was just a little bit of a joke. But, yeah, the English is a little bit, it's not a, you know, the kids are right. I think, Sebastian, you catch what I'm saying, hopefully. You know, the kids are studying for the exam. So, it's all these intensive forms of words. So, heil and heichel and all of that. Never mind. let me get to scripture, to biblical things. Galatians chapter 2, I've got it there from verse 11 to verse 14. And I want to read to us this morning. But then Cephas, that is Peter, came to Antioch. I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. Verse 13. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? Good. So in this portion of scripture, in the text this morning, we've got Peter. Peter is quite a well-known figure in scripture. I believe most of us know Peter and his character and how powerful the Lord Jesus used him there in the early church as an apostle to heal people, to preach that massive sermon in Acts chapter 2 where a lot of people came to Christ, a lot of people were born again. He was one of the pillars in Acts chapter 15 when the Jerusalem council met. So he was one of the strong leaders in the early church. He was one of Jesus' disciples, as we all know. And there's quite a lot of stories that we will read where Peter were either walking on water or attempting to do something like that. Quite a colorful person. Sometimes I have to close my eyes and I think, but what did they look like? And, you know, let's say off the ball, in a sense, when they were sitting there on the beach making a fire, who was Peter? And, you know, who was Paul? And who was John? And what did they look like? And what their characters was? And obviously scripture gives us definitely some glimpses into who they were and what they were doing. So once again, Paul, we all know quite well, the apostle for the glory of God, a man who wrote quite a big portion, or the Lord used him to write quite a big portion of the New Testament, powerful church planter, missionary, apostle. He loves making disciples, etc. And then we've got Barnabas here, maybe a little bit less well known, but he joined Paul on his first missionary journey. He was also in Acts chapter 15, and in various places we will see, I think Barnabas was the cousin of John Mark, and you can maybe go and read a little bit about him. Not as well known, but certainly a man that was there in the thick of things in the early church, traveling. He had quite a compassionate heart as well. And then we see there were certain men that came from James. Then we see the Jews and we see the Gentiles. And then when we look at this part of the scripture, I just want to read it to us a little bit slower, break it down a little bit, verse for verse, you know, and it starts with a but. So always when there's a but, there was something before that was said, which I'm not going to go in. You can go and read Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. I'm starting here from verse 11, but it starts with a but. So just know there were some things that were said before that. And it's Paul writes and he says, but when Cephas or Peter came to Antioch, I resisted him face to face. That's very strong language that Paul is using there. If you resist someone face to face. Now remember, it's one apostle speaking about another. And then he says, he continues and he says, because he stood condemned. Okay, so Paul is saying, listen, Peter is guilty of something. There's some sort of an issue. That's why I was looking him in the eyes. There was an Afrikaans, I'll say, the appelkieterskil. There's something that we really need to talk about. Verse 12, it says, for, and now he starts to give the reason about what is this reason why he stood condemned. He says, for before certain ones came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. Okay, Peter were doing nothing wrong in that sense. He was eating with the Gentiles. Peter was a Jew, but that was totally in line with Scripture. It was in line with the Word. It was in line with the New Covenant, where Jew, Greek, male or female, slave or free, no matter who came to Christ. Just as we are going to use communion, I hope the ushers didn't leave. Left us, but we're going to leave communion. We're going to use it as one family. We are people from different backgrounds, different ages, but here in Christ, we are one family. Amen? And here Paul says, he was eating with the Gentiles. And then there's a but again, you know, the buts and the fours and the ands, we need to pay attention to them. Then he says, but when day came, he drew back and he separated himself. And then here he gives us a clue into the whole issue, because he feared those of circumcision. Okay, now this is where Paul is building his case. He's writing and he says, but when the other guys came, the other Jews, the circumcision party, Peter drew back and he separated himself because he feared those of the circumcision party. Now, we all know, if we are honest, somewhere in our lives, we have battled with maybe some sort of a fear of losing something, a fear of maybe losing someone, a fear of maybe losing a job, or a fear of I guess there's, I remember in 2009, someone preached Chafa Vinduk about all the different types of fears, and there's quite a lot of them. If you go to a dictionary, there's all these phobias that you can name, stuff that people actually fear. And here Paul is saying, listen, Peter, why did you isolate yourself? Why did you separate yourself? Because you were fearing man. You were afraid of other people. Before the time you were eating with the Gentiles, then someone came, and now you're afraid. Peter, what's up? What is going on here? Then he says, and as a result, the rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy. Okay? So it's not just Peter drawing back, separating himself. It says the rest of the Jews joined him. Now, that is sad, but then Paul puts in another sentence and he says, so that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. So Paul is really, let's say, disgusted, disappointed, because he and Barnabas have spent a lot of time together. They traveled on some mission journeys together. I'm not going to be able, but they definitely planted a few churches together. So it's almost like when you work hard together with someone, when you yoke together, you know, there's that common heart of seeing through the preaching of the gospel, people coming to Christ, churches being born. So, and he adds then, he says, so that even Barnabas, I mean, it's almost like saying, a lot of you offended me, but Lionel, it hurts the most when you put that dagger in my back. It's almost like, but Barnabas, how could you also fall for this fear of man that in a sense came from Peter? Then he says, but when I saw that they were not walking straight in accordance with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, before them all, because it was a public issue, so he corrected or addressed him publicly. If you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, even though you are a Jew, how can you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? Now, it's quite interesting, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to go into the eating with the Gentiles and the Jews and all of that. There's something else that I actually want us to focus on a little bit this morning. Now, just to give one or two definitions about a hypocrite, you know, it's someone characterized by behavior that contradicts what one claims to believe or feel. And you know, it's always sad when you have to say to someone, my man, you're a hypocrite. When I'm saying to you, listen, don't work so hard, but I'm a workaholic myself. You know, it's like, come on, man, you need to, your dag en jou nag praatjies met jouself dis, meaning, listen, you need to be consistent here. You can't do something like that or say something like that. So when we look at the actions of Peter, because of the fear of man, and specifically that circumcision party, Peter drew back, isolated himself or separated himself because of the fear of that group. And then unfortunately, we see the rest of the Jews acting the same. They also drew back alongside with him. Even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. Paul's actions, he opposed him face to face. Paul was a man who loved the gospel. He loved the church. Paul saw that, listen, if he doesn't address what is happening right here, it might have a sad ending, or it might once again bring division in the church between the Jews and the Gentiles. Because if we have communion just now and we say, okay, all the women in church, you're allowed to use communion, but the men sit there in one corner, you're not. Or if we turn it around and we say, everyone who's above 40, you can use communion, and the rest, you just wait till you're 40. You know, it brings division. It's going to hurt someone. It's going to bring, and that was something that Paul didn't want. Now, just remember, Peter was a disciple of Jesus. You know, He heard the gospel. Jesus discipled him. He was there when Jesus was crucified. Obviously, afterwards, Peter saw Jesus Christ when he rose again, etc. He was there in the book of Acts. But Paul came only in the picture a little bit later, and he received this gospel from the Lord Jesus himself, which is quite powerful. I wish I could see in his mind and heart what just happened there from the Damascus Road onwards as he received his gospel. But the important thing is that the gospel was above Peter's actions. Okay? It wasn't that, okay, Peter, you are the older, more senior apostle. You were there first. You had the braaikie with the fish with Jesus, and now we're just going to excuse you. No, Paul withstood him to his face. He wanted to settle this issue, and he wanted to clarify that. So just to get quickly back to the fact that Peter was driven by fear of what others might think of him, you know, I think for us, we can ask that same question. There's for many of us, there's a natural hindrance to be bold for the Lord. It does come more naturally for some of us. Some of us are more extroverts. Some of us are a little bit louder. Some of us talk a little softer. We're not exactly all the same in that sense. But we cannot say we're not passionate about the Lord. Okay? When three, four weeks, when was it ago? When South Africa were playing that Rugby World Cup game against the English, you know, you could just watch Christian, non-Christian, Jew or Greek, slave or free. Man, if your blood were green, then the excitement was there. We all could see it, okay? And if you, no, I shouldn't say that. If you were English, then you lost, but that I shouldn't say that. You know, it's just sport, you know. It doesn't really matter. Just a few million in your pocket, I hear the guys that won it. But nevertheless, we bless them for killing themselves in rugby. But for us as the church, you know, sometimes here in our church, in our small group and intercession, we can say, amen, I agree with you. Yes, we pray in tongues, we baptize people, and we believe in biblical principles, and we believe to spank a child is biblical, and we believe that abortion is wrong, and the list can go on. And then when we are there somewhere else, we can actually, when we are outnumbered, think of the holidays coming, friends and family visiting. Maybe you are always praying together as a family, but now there's people, other people visiting, and now like, I don't talk about my recent baptism so much or about other biblical things. And we tend to be sometimes a little bit like Peter. And we say, but now I'm a little bit outnumbered, and maybe I'm a little bit afraid, so I'll just be a little bit more quiet, you know? And aren't we hypocrite? Don't we act a little bit hypocritical as well? So that's just something we always need to be careful of, that here in church, in our midst, we need to, I want to say it's a safe place. We are just blessed. There's not people trying to burn our cars or the building. We don't live in one of those parts of the world at this stage. So we are blessed in that sense, I believe. But I know that the Lord is really stirring this boldness. And he's stirring this boldness in our midst so that we can use it for the mandate that he has given us to reach the nations, to make disciples, to whether I'm bold here, I should just be as bold when I'm on the beach or I'm catching fish in Hentish Bay or fishing or whatever you are doing, you know, that same passion and staying in line with the word, that we carry that with us. A second point that I want to make, or that I see in this passage, in this part of Scripture, is that, you know, Peter's status as an apostle naturally carried great influence, and while he may not have intended others to follow his example, that was the result. You know, and in Afrikaans, there's always that thing that say, moenie doen soos ek sê nie, doen soos ek maak, don't do as I say. Yes, you know what I mean. Do as I say, okay? And that's the example for parents and fathers and mothers especially, where you cannot tell your child, no, you're not allowed to curse or use this language or whatever the example might be, but you as the leader do it, okay? That thing just doesn't work. Kids are clever. They see right through us if we were to be hypocrites in that sense. Now, the thing that happened here is Peter was a man of authority. He was an apostle, so because of that, people were following his example. People were looking at him And sometimes, I believe many of, I've definitely done it once in my life, I can remember clearly. Sometimes, when a church leader or someone does something or says something, you think, but then I can do it as well, you know? And we need to be careful not to justify, because here Peter was withdrawing, not eating with the Gentiles anymore, and that is why Paul is fighting with him, because it led other people astray. It's actually sinful even. So just notice, it's important so Paul just knew he had to confront Peter before his actions damaged the church. But just the important fact is, the fight wasn't about their theology. It wasn't about what they believed. It was about about his behavior. It was about his actions. So if we think about it, there's two apostles, two men who loves the Lord, who believes the same theology, but their behavior wasn't the same. Now, where does that come from? I mean, they are the same apostles in the same era, the same things happening. And obviously, so there was no dispute. We shouldn't read in it there was a division in the church in terms of theology. It was in terms of behavior. Paul says, he doesn't say Peter were believing a false gospel. He says the way that Peter acted was he was acting like a hypocrite. So I believe as the Lord is stirring here in our midst and as he's building us, you know, I'm just so excited that we can take this passion all with us wherever we go. You know, and there's four things I think many of us are just processing what was happening in the last few months. And if there's four little words that just came to my mind, when I look at the men of God and women of God like Mariette at the women's conference and their examples, you know, there's four things that I just see in their lives that must be there if you want to be really bold and passionate about the Lord. And the one is intimacy. You cannot not be intimate with the Lord and then be full of zeal, you know. If the more time you spend with the Lord, the more intimacy there is, the more passionate you will be. Because the more we grow and the more we go, I believe, we just look back and say, God, but it was of your grace. I didn't save myself. I couldn't. You gave me a family. You gave me so many things in life which I could just think. Sometimes we want to think, wow, I'm amazing or something, but it's not. You know, none of us could keep ourselves awake at night when we're sleeping even. You know, if you start to think about these things, there's a million things that can go wrong with your body right now. Right now. But it's God's goodness and his grace that he sustains us. The second one is intensity. You know, we cannot just have this once in a while relationship with the Lord. You know, that daily discipline of praise and worship, reading scripture, studying the word, and having an intimate relationship, that intensity, that is something that will make us fly. You know, it's something that will make us really have this passion. And then the last two, obviously something I just see in all the guys, Courtney Becker, Rick Russo, Michael Howard, Stephen Lungu, everyone that was, they were power and they were passion. You know, they were power and they were passion. We always had these pillars in church where we had our shofar core values. And one of them said passion for people. You know, if you want to lead a small group or a ministry leader, apart from all the gifts and anointings and all those things, you should have a heart of a shepherd. We should love people. You cannot pastor a church and be very gifted and leading worship or preaching or anything, and you don't have a love for people. Okay, Jesus was a shepherd at heart. You know, he had a love for the people. He had compassion for the people. Yes, he was straightforward and many things, but that's something that we should have in our heart. So that's just something on the side I just really thought of in this last month. Intimacy, intensity, power and passion, something that I just want to keep close in my life, and I want to stay close to people where I can see that fire is really burning. Then, I haven't got it on the slides, but it's actually interesting I've used three different translations for verse 14, where Paul actually comes and he says, listen, the reason why you are deviating from the gospel, that's one of the main things. Peter, if you want to be funny, you can be funny in a sense, but because you are deviating from the truth of the gospel. That's one of the big things while I'm going to be in your face. So if we look at verse 14 there, I'm just going to read you from the New Living Translation. It says, when I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, when they were not following the truth of the gospel message, the ESV, the English Standard Version says, but when I saw, that is Paul, but when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel. And then lastly, the Holman's Christian Standard Bible says, but when I saw that they were deviating from the truth of the gospel, obviously that gave Paul the precedent to encounter Peter and to say, listen, we need to sort this thing out. We need to talk it through. We need to almost sit around the fire and sort this thing out. So I believe it's so important for all of us, and that's why we need friends. That's why we need to be accountable. That's why we need spiritual families. The moment where someone is deviating from the truth of the gospel, and we hear it so often these days where we are globally so connected that people are now starting to do something funny, something new, but that's not biblical. You know, where there's always something be added. Pastor Andres just told me and Yaku on Thursday night, we were just having a bit of fellowship, and he said to him, he doesn't understand it. It's now, I'm not going to go into the example, but it's one of the stronger persons, a lady in his church, just came to him and she says, but she believes it this way now. And he's like, but where do you get it from? That's not biblical. You know, and we see it all the time where people are deviating from the truth of the law, of the word. I almost want to say adding or taking something away, which is totally wrong. And I believe we should all be stewards of that, where we need to confront people in love. So here's one of the important things. Peter sinned, but others imitated his behavior. So if there's a place where we can say sin is infectious, then goodness have the same quality. You know. So when I see people who's passionate and full of zeal, and they love the Lord, and they know the word, and they walk with the Lord, when we can sense it, we can pick it up. You know, I want to stay close to people like that. Yes, we need to reach out to all different people groups in a certain sense. But you know, if Peter's actions led to him being isolated, and he was acting like a hypocrite, and he led others astray, then where there's passion, and where there's a love for the Lord, and the truth reigns, and where there's this sweet aroma, you know, of the Lord in our midst, there we will have the same effect. That is why I'm so excited about what is happening at our intercession group. Because I know we can pray in many different places in town, and that same passion, that same heart, that same zeal will be there. Now, if we take that fire with us wherever we go, to our small groups, to Kiddish Church, you know, James used it a bit in a negative way, but we know that a little match or a lighter or a little spark can set a forest afire. It can start a big fire, okay? So the beauty is where Peter, unfortunately, people imitated him and went off the road. They deviated from the truth of the gospel. There where people are passionate, there where people love the Lord and that there's a heart for the truth, we will see that thing will spread as well. That heart, that passion that is in our midst. And I'm just so excited. I honestly say it. Some of you will know Auntie Doris. Who of you know? She went on our mission trips a few years ago, and she visits here every year. Now, I'm going to be honest, and you can hear my heart. You know, there were quite a few people over the years when I pastored that church that came and complained about her, not what she believed about her behavior of being full of passion. Now, listen out. It's funny, Carol. That's exactly the point. It's interesting how many times people in church will complain to me or Yaku over the years about different type of things. But never, ever have someone came and complained and said, that person is quiet. No one ever complained about someone who's sitting there, who's not talking, and who's quiet. Two pastors later in Windhoek Philip Gerber and now JP, some have again over the time complained, but you can't have you be, do you have to be so loud in a sense? You know? But it's the same thing, you know, because those people were the ones who were wrong. She's got the passion, she's got that heart of David to be a worshiper. You know, it's not, and that's, as I said, it's not what two people can believe exactly the same thing, be in the same church, and the one can be very passionate and bold, and the other person can be the quiet one, okay? And I'm actually saying to us, you know, there were so many, and when we had Michael Howard here, and I believe I was just saw the bricks here that Jaco left here last week, you know, I believe part of what he was doing, he was just trying to get us really being passionate about the word, about what the Lord wants to do, okay? So to just have that zeal. And you know, when I look at Auntie Doris, I thought like she would have loved him just because he's so expressive about what he believes, etc. So sometimes two of us can believe exactly the same thing. And because there's maybe not that much intimacy or intensity or a little bit of the fear of man or something, we draw back. We are a little bit afraid during the festive season to talk about the word or something like we can do when we are together. So I just want to encourage us once again, just to the boldness, the things that has been stirring. And guys, I'm saying it with a thankful heart. I'm so thankful to be part of this church. You know, God is doing wonderful, beautiful things in many churches in our town across the world. But I believe that most of us will be able to discern that the Lord's hand is with us. And I'm just saying, Lord, why us? Why can we build a building? But it's not for us. It's for His purposes. It's for His kingdom to come. And there were times this year that I thought, like, God, we are 12 and 13 praying and here and there's a small group multiplying and, you know, and then suddenly in the second semester, it just seems if things started to boom, you know. And I thought like, Lord, but how are we going to fill that big church? I can see we're going to build it easier in a sense than we fill, than to fill it with people. But I know, church, that the Lord is doing a work in our hearts. He's stirring and moving something in our hearts. And that will bring the harvest in. We've spoken about new life. We had a series on that. We've spoken about the harvest. God is lining us up. He's preparing us to fill that church. And it will be just for His glory. Okay? So I'm so excited about it. And I know that if we are down and we are passive and we are very quiet and all of that, that's going to be infectious. That's the group we will be. But if we are full of passion and zeal, and it doesn't have to look the same in every life, okay? But let's be on Paul's side just concerning this. I'm not knocking Peter. I'm just preaching the word and the example and what we can learn from it, and especially when fear of a certain group comes in, you know? Many of us, I remember when I was young and a young Christian and I was baptized, you know, in certain circles it went down a lot better than others if you say, I was baptized as an adult. Okay, jy is nou groot gedoop. Okay, so there's always that type of a friction. And then just to, I hope we've still got ushers to hand out. Jan, do we still have ushers and communion? There was in the Afrikaans service, so I truly, honestly hope there's something. I just feel, yeah, there is. Okay, that we should, thanks to you, that we just use communion together. And as I said last night, when I was really praying and saying, Lord, is there something specifically, as I said, it's now, next week is our Thanksgiving Sunday where we're going to come together as a church. Guys, you can hand out. I will appreciate it. You know, we will give thanks for specific things and stuff that has happened and have a feedback video and just reflect on the year. But as I was praying last night, and I just felt, Lord, is there something else, something specific that you want me to say? And I just had this impression on my heart that the Lord just wants us, just you should just hear this, just as they're handing out, that we just need to say, Lord, what have you said to me in this past 2 or 3 months? We were really busy. And then just ask ourselves, Have I been obedient to what the Lord has said to me? Paul writes here in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, he says, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus Christ. So what the Lord assigned to Paul was different than what he assigned to my life. But I know he's certainly assigning something to me. And he's certainly assigning something to you. Because that is what we will have to give account of one day. That is where we're going to have this conversation with Christ one day. And we're going to have to give almost report on what we did in this life. So as we are ending slowly this year and things are quieting down a little bit in terms of the schools are closing and church will become a little bit more quiet in a sense, let's be bold. Let's be full of passion. And let's be honest. Maybe for some of you it's straightforward. You've done what the Lord has said. But maybe Yaku have said a few times in the last months, he stood up and he says, guys, this is a God moment. The Lord is speaking to us. There's something that we need to grasp here. So if the Lord does things, maybe the Lord will just remind you on some of the days or nights when they were teaching that he put a seed in your heart concerning something. And we need to ask ourselves, did I listen? Did I obey? Not just like, yes, Lord, but did I do what he asked of me? What is he speaking to you about this morning? So, Marika, you can just have background music once again. And I just want to read to us from Matthew chapter 26, just about communion at Lord's Supper. Matthew 26, verse 26. Just quickly want to... Matthew 26:26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it, I just repeat from verse 27. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So, Father, this morning, as we just use the bread and the wine, Lord, and we just celebrate what you did on the cross, the penalty that you paid, the price that you paid, that you rose again, that you are seated at the right hand of the Father, Lord, that you rule and you reign, Lord Jesus, that you weren't just a historical figure, but that you are Christ, the anointed one, that you are alive and that you save, Lord. We thank you for salvations this year. We thank you for baptisms this year. We thank you for mission teams that went out this year. Father, I thank you for the ministry that we had this year. For so many times and moments when the Holy Spirit really moved in our midst. When there was an opportunity to pray for people, to see people to come into your kingdom, to receive healing, to be restored, Lord God, where there's a new chapter that you are writing. Oh Lord, my heart is just to give thanks this morning. We thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. And Father, as we take the bread and the wine and we think of your body that was broken, your blood that was poured out for the remission of our sins, Lord. Oh Father, we are just so thankful. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are coming back for your church. Thank you that we can have a relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, that we can, as a church, can say, Lord Jesus, you are building your church. That we can feel it and sense it and smell it and know that you are changing us. That you are calling us to a deeper degree of commitment, of relationship, of loving you, of coming up higher, Lord. Lord, that we want to respond to that we want to obey, Lord Jesus, that you don't look just for perfection, but that you look for obedience in our hearts. Oh Lord Jesus, come and change us through your Spirit's work, just from one degree to another, just becoming more and more like Christ. Lord, that we will not fear man, Lord God, that we will not be afraid, but that there will be a boldness in our hearts, that we will have intimacy and intensity, that there will be power and passion in our lives and our walk with you, that we will be, Lord God, tools in your hands, Lord, but Father, powerful tools that you use for your glory. You can just use the bread and the wine, and I'm just going to give us a minute or two, just maybe to sit and to reflect and to listen to what the Lord wants to say to your heart. And maybe just where you sit, if you feel the Lord is really just dropping something in your spirit, that there will be a willingness to say, yes, Lord, I will go, or I will do, or I will obey. Lord, we love you and we worship you. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.